On Tuesday afternoon, soldiers entered the president's residence, arresting him and the prime minister. The president's son, speaker of the National Assembly, foreign and finance ministers were also reported to be among the officials detained.
That's the BBC reporting on the military coup that took place in Mali last month, with a transitional government now being formed after President Ibrahim Boubacar Keita resigned. This is the country's second coup in less than 10 years, following the 2012 coup d'etat.
Hello, boy. Abichobori, ça va? Ça va. Kobichobori, est-ce que surashuka girigaranya kobisauma?
Here in New Zealand, Mali-born Boubacar Coulibaly has been on the phone every day since, trying to stay on top of the developments, speaking to his siblings and extended family who live in and around the capital, Bamako. For Coulibaly, this military coup takes him right back to some turbulent years in Mali before he immigrated to New Zealand. I'm Kadambri Raghukumar, and this is Voices. Today, we're talking about coups and culture over coffee.
I see you like your coffee. You've got a fancy coffee machine
I love
there.
My coffee.
Can I help you?
My hand is actually shaking with that. I've drank probably too much coffee.
Coulibaly, an engineer, settled in New Zealand in 1989. As a francophone country, Mali traditionally saw people emigrate in larger numbers to Europe rather than Commonwealth countries like New Zealand. Coulibaly lives in a sunny blue villa in Auckland's Grey Lynn with his Kiwi wife Jenny and their dog Cheetah. He loves his coffee, Cheetah loves the sun, and the three of us are sat in his living room surrounded by artwork and artifacts from all across West Africa. I want to know about his personal take on the situation in Mali right now. After all, he's no stranger to coups and uprisings in his home country.
So currently there are big things going on back home in Mali.
That's true.
In 1989, just before you left Mali, what was the political situation at that point?
So in 1979 to 1980, we had a lot of struggle against the government. And it happened that actually the president that we went on strike with, I was at the last year of high school, he died yesterday. And we wanted a democracy.
So Moussa Traoré, who died yesterday,
yes,
was someone that you had gone to...
On strike against. Because we spent an entire year fighting against him, and that we want him to resign. And then we didn't do our national exam that year. The following year, he suspended all of us from going to class. And the third year, I had to come back and pass my exam.
So yesterday was a significant day for you. It would have brought back a few different memories for you.
It did. It did bring a lot of memories to reminiscent to all of that, because we were fighting against a dictatorship. Our generation didn't succeed. So I came back and did my final year of high school and then got a scholarship to go and study in China.
In China, he met his future Kiwi wife, Jenny, who was also studying there. Back in Mali, General Moussa Traoré was still in power.
It's when I returned back to Mali and then spent a year there and come to New Zealand. When I was in New Zealand, 1991, another student movement then got rid of him. In Mali, it's always the youth are the first to get up. There was a general uprising against him. And the general uprising shook him so much that the soldiers around him decided, right, we have to finish this guy off. So they took him and then organized the transitional government to set up democracy.
So that's similar to what's happening now.
Exactly.
You have a transitional government currently.
Yes, that's what we are going
through.
That's what we are going through right now.
What is the current strife about?
The current strife about is really about corruption.
So how does all this make you feel, sitting in New Zealand?
I can't spend a day. We were talking to Mali. If I get really frustrated, because it's a country full of resources, human resources, mineral resources, you name it. Until now, the richest person to ever exist on the planet is the King Kanku Musa. Until now, all the Bill Gates and everyone you see, none of them has equal him. So the country is set on huge amount of resources, gold, everything is there. You see what I mean? And the youth is full of resources, eager to be educated. But the politicians somehow use that to be very corrupt. And it's very complex because the position of Mali geopolitically is very important. It's in the center of West Africa and then straight into North Africa. So that geopolitics, and one of the problems which has always been having a external base from the American or the French, every Malian government had refused it because we just don't want to be part of anything like that in terms of the geopolitics of the place. But everyone wanted.
How does it personally affect you and your family? How is life being affected directly on a daily basis?
In daily basis, it doesn't really change much for me and my family. But the main reason, I will say directly, the main reason is that my family is full of people who, a lot of them are self-employed. We come from a farming background, but education has been very important for the family. And for a very long time, we every year we had a meeting and we say, if every one child sank, if one child is not educated, that means we have all failed. So we all have to contribute to make sure every child is educated. And that's how my family has worked. And if I say my family, we are all the descendants of my grandpa, and we are over 200 of us. But we work very closely together in that path.
In spite of being here in the Pacific and them being in West Africa.
In West Africa, I contribute my part all the time. Yeah. So getting back to your question, in terms of the impact of the political upheaval to the thing, it doesn't really affect my family that much directly. But the corruption is something which affects everyone. Because to get anything done, you have to pay some money somewhere illegally to get through the system. And that's very frustrating. You see? So that's a real area where it affects all of us directly.
In New Zealand, over the years, the Malian community has grown as children are born, grow up, and have their own. But according to Statistics New Zealand, those born in Mali number about 9, randomly rounded to the basis of 3. Coulibaly takes it upon himself to be a cultural ambassador of sorts, from hosting visiting Malian musicians to being the Bambara translator for visiting diplomats, to in the past running his own radio show on Pan-African music. He also helps organize the African Film Festival every year. This year it's been rescheduled for November in Auckland.
Mali's a rich country with culture and music, and you go to the WOMAD Festival, you end up hearing so many amazing Malian artists. I remember listening to Rokia Traore. So many. Omu Sangare, she's from Mali.
From Mali. Salif Keita, all of them came to WOMAD.
But yet people know so little about the situation. And you're part of the African Film Festival that organized every year.
Yeah.
Tell me a bit about that.
I know nothing about film to start with. I have to say I'm a water engineer, I know nothing about film. But what I'm passionate about is people understanding each other. I learned that films are such a very important medium to exchange your culture, to show your culture. The film is not made in a vacuum, it's made in a society. Mm-hmm. And therefore they see not only the landscape and everything. You ask many Kiwis, they think that Africa is just desert. We do get two big deserts, Sahara Desert and Kalahari Desert. But the longest river in the world is in Africa. How does the longest river without water? It doesn't happen. But a lot of people do not understand that. The Malians are naturally rebellious, I would say, or want rebellious in the sense that we always talk a lot about trying for cohesion. If you go to the society, it's full of that. Everyone is trying to create cohesion. So therefore, there is always a topic of film. And at the same time, fighting against the different dictatorship and this sort of thing, how that affects people, that has come up a lot. We have had a lot of film on that. And the musician who had been at WOMAD, for instance, you had Songhai Blues. They came to WOMAD once year, and they were involved in one of the films that we show here called They'll Have to Kill Us First.
Do you think the current coup that's taking place in Mali will give rise to further and future artistic sort of efforts like these films that you speak about?
Definitely. If they are not already doing it, I'm sure they are doing it.
Yeah.
Because the way the coup happened, the Ibeka's regime, the way the corruption, how he was corrupt, I'm sure there will be a lot of films about that and how the change has happened and the musician getting involved Because you got some musician in Mali, their music. So they summarize what has happened in a month into a rap song. They will do it in French, they will do it in Bambara. I will give you one before we leave. I'm not sure how is your French.
Not very good. Spanish is better.
Oh, right. Sans convoi, de retrouver tous mobilisés pour ce combat. L'État malien interpellé, on est impatient. À l'Assemblée nationale soumis et absent.
What are your hopes for the next few months as Mali is going through a transition right now?
Well, my hope is that the Malians are very free people in their mind. They do not accept ruling class to sort of behave in a certain way. So I'm hoping that the soldiers and the politicians, that they will work together to make sure that they stamp out corruption so that the country can take its rightful place within the international community, as well as really help the youth and the whole society to get to their dream. Every time I go to Mali, I get really, really proud because I know how much education has happened. I know how much progress the country has made. But there's still a huge problem. The youth said, enough is enough. So I'm hoping that that movement will be able to work really well. And then everyone understands that people are not going to accept that forever.
L'État malien interpellé, on est impatient. À l'Assemblée nationale soumis et absent.
And that's the artist JT Abefo Repo's summary and rap. Thanks for listening to Voices. I'm Kadambri Raghukumar. Check out more of our stories and subscribe to the Voices podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, and wherever you like to get your podcasts from. You can also find us on the RNZ website. Blair Stagpole is the audio engineer for this Voices episode, and Tim Watkin is the executive producer for podcasts and series.